Isaiah chapter 43, we're going to read verses 1 through 7. And I'll say again, as I've said many times before, God works and God is great and He's omniscient and He works things together for our good. And this morning, as I was reading the Bible study lesson, many thoughts contained in that lesson are in the lesson that I wanted to bring to you. I did not know that was the lesson until I was reading it this morning. And then, of all things, Brother Ralph, teaching the lesson to us very ably, said he cited Isaiah chapter 43, and he began to tell us about what it says in there. And I was blessed by that and thankful because, and I said out loud, I said, Brother Ralph, I'm going to try to preach on Isaiah 43 this morning, as a matter of fact. And I take that as an indication that God is continuing to bless and lead by His Spirit and direct us. And I thank God for that. Isaiah chapter 43, I'm going to read the first seven verses. Isaiah 43, verses 1 through 7. Please follow along. Get a Bible and follow along. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even everyone that is called by my name. For I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. That concludes the reading of the scripture down to verse 7, but I want to go back now to verse 1 and read that again. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by my name. Thou art mine. The title of the lesson today I've selected is the words of Isaiah, inspired by the one true and living God. The last three words in verse 1, thou art mine. What a blessed thought, brethren, that we belong to God. Let's go to God in prayer, brethren, that He'll add His blessing to the reading of His word and to bless me to preach the word and you and me to hear the word of God today. Oh, Father in heaven, we thank You for the blessed privilege to be in Your house. Thank You for the labor that's gone into the worship services here, the meeting and the preparation for it, and all the work outside the church and inside the church. Thank You for the good report, Lord. Thank You for blessing the people to come and hear the Word of God. We come again now, Lord, to your throne, into Your throne room. We come through the intercession of our Lord and Savior, and we ask, Father God, that You would bless this worship service, that You continue to bless Your people as they worship wherever they are. Bless Your ministers this morning to stand and preach Your word in demonstration of Your Holy Spirit and power of the Holy Spirit. Father, lead me, guide me, and direct me in what to say. Thank You for the privilege to preach Your word. Thank You, Father, for those that come that want to hear the word of God. Thank You for loving us and saving us and making us Your own as You have spoken to us already through Your word and telling us that we are Yours and You own us. We belong to You. And the many things contained in these scriptures that bless our hearts. Father, teach us, open Your word to us and open our hearts to receive it and direct us
and guide us in worship. We pray, Father, for those in special need. We pray for those, the number here that are traveling. We pray for traveling grace and your protective hand upon them, that they be home safely and back to their loved ones. We thank you, Father, for blessing those that have been injured, sick, and ill, that return to a portion of their health, and comfort those, Lord, who have lost loved ones, and bless those on the prayer list. In the name of Jesus, we pray, and we ask yet again, Lord, that you would open your word and help me, Father, to preach your word to your honor and glory, and the edification, the building up of your church, the church of Jesus Christ. In that name, most high and holy, we pray, the name above every name. Amen.
Brethren, some days ago I was reading in Isaiah chapter 43, and I made some notes, and it just stuck with me, the thoughts, and I want to bring them to you today. I pray that God would bless me and help me and to preach His Word. The title of the lesson, brethren, is Thou Art Mine. The last three words in that first verse. When I was reading this, it was just a great comfort and a joy to me that God, through the Spirit, would remind me, would tell me and remind me that I belong to Him. When the one true and living God, the all-powerful, holy, loving God says, you're mine, that's a blessing. That's a blessing. When I was a little boy, I sent Valentines, and the Valentines say, be mine, don't they? And actually, as a grown man, I sent them to my wife. Mercifully, I was able to do that and let her know I loved her and to tell her, hey, you belong to me and I belong to you. That's a blessing, that love there. There's something about that little statement, be mine, you know, that lets you know you're loved or you're appreciated. And God says to us, brethren, thou art mine. You are mine. Let's look at these verses right here and just rejoice together today. Hopefully God will teach us and bless us to think about what He's done for us. Chapter 43 of Isaiah. So many prophecies in this book of God's love for His people, His chastening hand upon His people, His chastening hand upon the Babylonians, all kinds of future prophecies that are listed in here. And here's one, brethren. My Bible has a little heading. It says, the Lord comforts the church with His promises. He's comforting His church, you and me, in this place today. He's comforting spiritual Israel, wherever they are, and He's comforting me and you individually. Listen to His words. But now, thus saith the Lord. Now, here I am stopping, and I got to say this, brethren. The Lord, the word of the Lord is the final authority. And you are nodding, and you know that. We read a lot, don't we? We read a lot about this person says this or this person says that. But brethren, the Lord is the final authority. Lawyers, when they're arguing their case, they like to bring an opinion to the judge, an opinion of a higher court, and they say, Judge, this is what I want you to do, and here's why you should do it. Here's the authority right here. I've got a case from so-and-so Court of Appeals or the Supreme Court, and they said the facts of this case, Your Honor, or my case, are just like this case right here, and this is what you should do, and here's the authority. And that carries the day. Often, if the judge agrees to this authority, that's what he needs to do, because he's bound by precedent. And that's the way it should be. We need order, obviously, in our legal system, in our judicial system. And that's good. But brethren, the final authority on anything is God. Not to slight the Court of Appeals or the Supreme Court of Georgia or the U.S. Supreme Court, but brethren, often they get it wrong. They get it wrong, wrong, wrong. Because they fly in the face of God's authority. And when you do that, you're wrong. That's all I need to say about it, and you know that. But thus saith the Lord. Brethren, when God speaks, we ought to listen, as the famous commercial of years gone by said. But now, thus say, this is what God says, brethren, the God that created thee. He reminds us that He created us. God created you and me. Now, To know that, brethren, ought to make you feel special, that God made you. Do you ever say to your children when they were little, or your grandchildren, who made you? My wife and I used to say that all the time, or often to our children. Who made you? Especially going to school in the morning, or maybe on a birthday or a special occasion, I'd say to them, who made you? And they'd say, God. And they were tiny things. And I know that probably they didn't understand that concept, but they knew the right answer. And I was interested in them giving me that answer. Because as they got older, I wanted them to learn that. I wanted to teach them that, but I wanted the Holy Spirit of God to make them understand it. I wanted them to give me the right answer. And in time, as time went by and they matured, they understood that God created them. God made them. God formed us. He created Jacob and he created Israel. In those terms, brethren, you know who Jacob was, and his name was changed to Israel, and he had lots of children, the patriarchs, and they had children and they multiplied. And God created, brethren, national Israel. But he also created spiritual Israel. And you and I are part of that. God created us. Psalm 139. Verses 13 and 14 say, For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. Brethren, God sees you in the womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. I want you to know right well, and I want to know right well, brethren, that God made Israel, the nation Israel. He made Jacob, the man Jacob, but he also made you. He made you. And you are special, brethren, if God takes the time and energy to him. He's got all the energy there is, and he's got the time in his hands, but he took that time to make you and me and bring us about. Thus saith God, the God that did that, that created us and formed us. Here's what he says, brethren. Fear not. I have said to you before, I'm sure, that there are so many of those expressions. That expression is in the Word of God so many times. And it's a wonderful expression when God says, fear not. Fear not. As I was preparing, I thought of two occasions, and I've tried to preach on them in days gone by, where God says, fear not. One is, and we're going to read those in the coming weeks. I know as we prepare for Christmas, you're going to read them, and I'm going to read them. Joseph was thinking on these things. He was thinking, Joseph, the espoused husband of Mary, she was expecting a child, and it was not his child. And he was thinking on these things. And God sent an angel to him and said, what, two words, more than that, but fear not. Go ahead and marry her. Because that thing that's conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. It was Jesus. Fear not, Joseph. Don't worry. Don't worry. Another time, when that baby came forth, brethren, on the occasion of the birth of that baby, there were shepherds in the field and an angel came upon them, and there was light shining all around them in the middle of the night, and they were sore afraid, the Word of God says. They were scared to death, like you and I would be if we were camping out and something like that happened in the dead of night. But the angel said, fear not, for I bring you good tidings of great joy. Don't be afraid. And now God, brethren, in this verse in Isaiah says, fear not, Jacob. Spiritual Israel, individual child of God that I have formed, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. Brethren, that ought to be pretty in your ears and in your heart. God says, don't be afraid. I've redeemed you. Now, the best example, the best context of redemption is that you've been redeemed, brethren. Your sins have been blotted out. Your sins have been washed. You've been made in the sight of God through the shed blood of Jesus Christ whiter than snow. You've been reconciled to God, a holy God. You and I, who were sinful and dead in trespasses and sins, full of sins, have been redeemed. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. Redeemed. And you and I are not redeemed by corruptible things. Simon Peter reminds us of that, such as silver and gold, but the precious blood of Jesus, the shed blood of Jesus. So fear not, I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Last Thursday, down at my parents' uncles were there and aunts, and they're getting up in age, and I was one of the youngest ones in the room sitting around, and we were talking about different families and things that had happened over the years, and it just became a joke to us that we couldn't think of people's names. Y'all experienced that? We couldn't call their names. And my uncle and aunt were telling something, and he was trying to think of the name, and he'd call a name, and she said, "No, that's not it." And he called another name, and she said, "No, that's not it." She didn't know what it was, but she knew what it wasn't. And we all got tickled. And we made a joke. Every time somebody tried to think of a name, I'd say, "Well, it's not so-and-so." I'd call out one of the names, and we'd all laugh, just have a good time. And we struggle with names, don't we? But brethren, listen to this. God says, "I have called thee by thy name." If I had a few minutes and had to name all of y'all, I could come pretty close to doing it. But it would take me a while, and I would struggle. But I think I could do it. But brethren, God has no trouble with that. And not that He's omniscient, He knows everything. But here's the thing, not that He just knows our name, brethren, He calls us by our name. He calls us by our name. There's something about our name, when it's called, it gets our attention. And there's something about if a loved one calls our name, and I have that little pet name, my grandchildren call me Peppy, and I'm telling you, when I hear that little voice say that, it just does something to me. I'll do anything they want almost, unless it's wrong. I mean, all they got to do is that little voice just call out my name. It does something to me. But God, brethren, knows our name, and the infinite, eternal, all-powerful, holy, holy, holy God, He calls you by your name. Isn't that amazing? You are all loved ones and loved of God if you're born again, every one of you. And God calls you by your names. And I understand that. But it's just such a blessing to know that God calls me, but He knows my name. And of course, we even know that the hairs of our head are numbered. That's an illustration of how much God cares about us. Then the three words, the title of the lesson, "Thou art mine." I love that expression. We belong to God. We belong to Him. He made us. He redeemed us. He called us from death into life. He calls us by our name. We are His. We belong to Him. Isn't it nice to belong? Isn't it nice to belong? People join clubs. They join civic organizations. They join the church. It's nice to belong. It's nice to be part of a group, to belong. The word belong, a dictionary definition, is to be attached or bound by birth, allegiance, or dependency. That's what belong means, to be attached, to belong to something or someone. Brethren, you and I belong to God. And it's nice to know that I belong to Him. Thou art mine. Now this is what Brother Ralph was getting at this morning. He touched on it, and we moved on to something else. But he understands and he knows this scripture. And I hope you know it, brethren. When thou passest through the waters, the word is not if, is it? It's not if, it's when. We say that sometimes. We say, well, if so-and-so happens, this will happen. Or if so-and-so, then we'll be able to do this. But sometimes we say, when this happens. You know, I may say, well, when service is over, I'm going to do this. Well, I may or may not do it. If the Lord wills, then it's His will, and then I will do it. That's what James tells us to say. Don't say, oh, tomorrow I'm going to do so-and-so. You say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do so-and-so. But here, brethren, God is telling us certain things are going to happen. And He says, when they happen, here's what I'm going to do. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Now, God says that. We all agreed a while ago, He's the ultimate authority. He cannot lie. He's telling us free and clear, brethren, when you go through waters, I'm going to be with you. When you go through the waters, I will be with you. When you go through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. A couple of thoughts I had about this. Waters here symbolizes trouble. Our lesson this morning in Bible study was on Christians going through trouble, suffering in trouble in this world. I can't remember the exact title, but that was what the lesson was about, suffering. And how we handle it. Some handle it better than others. Some go to pieces. Some get closer to God. Some get further away from God. And we all agreed it's a mystery to us how when you have trouble, when someone has trouble, they just stop coming to church. That's always puzzled me. But anyway, you know what I personally want to do? I want to be in the church. I want to be close to God when I have trouble. I want to be there. I want to be close to Him. And I hope you do. When you pass through the waters, here the waters represent, to me, I have this thought, like sort of like a flood waters that they come into your life. They just come spilling into your life. Some trouble does. That you didn't ask for, maybe. Hopefully you didn't. Hopefully you didn't bring it on yourself. Sometimes we do that. We bring it on ourselves. But sometimes the waters just rise and they come all around us and trouble comes around and God says, I'll be with you. I'll be with you when that happens. And then I thought about through the rivers. Well, rivers are waters, but sometimes, and rivers are, I love rivers. I just love a river. But sometimes there's like a river out there that you've got to cross. And that current, you got to get through that current to get to the other side. God says here, when you go through the waters, I'll be with you. And through the rivers, they won't overflow you. The current's not going to take you away. I'm not going to let it take you away. There is something you've got to cross. You've got to get through it. And the river represents that thing. But I'll be with you. And it won't destroy you. It won't get the best of you. I'll be with you, God says. The rivers won't overflow you. Then he says another when. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Not if, but when. Who were the three famous Old Testament characters who were in the fire and it didn't kindle upon them? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know. It didn't kindle upon them. And God says they didn't even smell like smoke when they came out of the burning fiery furnace. Sometimes God delivers us from those things. Sometimes He delivers us through them or in them. And we agreed this morning that, like Job said, when I get through this, God is with me. And when He's trying me, He's testing me, He's proving me, I shall come forth as gold. The dross is burned up, but the gold remains. The pure metal remains. And sometimes, brethren, when we go through trouble like that, it makes us realize what's really important. There are a lot of things, and you can name a dozen of them, that you find out they're not so important after all. When? And why will He do it? He says, verse 3, "For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior." I love that word, don't you? He saves us. He redeemed us. He saved us from our sins in an eternal sense. And He, brethren, He saves me all the time. All the time. I can give you many examples and you could give me many of God's saving, daily saving grace in my life and in yours. He's our Savior. And He reminds here the nation of Israel, Jacob, Israel. He says, "I gave Egypt for thy ransom." Do you know that He did that? He brought the children of Israel out of that Egyptian bondage. They spoiled the Egyptians that night when they left. They took all kinds of riches and materials with them. We talked about, I think, last week about their clothing and their shoes with them, that God preserved it in the wilderness. But God, brethren, He gave Egypt a ransom for His people. And there He says, "And I gave Ethiopia and Seba for thee. The Bible scholars think that He's referring there in the time of the kings of Israel. Ethiopia and Seba came against Israel, came against Jerusalem to war. And God fixed it. God arranged it so that they departed from the children of Israel and they were spared in Jerusalem and the children of Israel. Ethiopia and Seba. God, brethren, Daniel says, He does as He will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. He gives people. None can stay His hand and say unto Him, "What doest thou?" I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba before thee. And on a personal level with us, brethren, individual level, all things work together for good to them that love God. He arranges people and things to spare us and also to bless us. Verse 4, since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable. Brethren, it's honorable. It's an honor to be precious in the sight of God. He bestows great honor upon us. A child of the King is what we are. And I have loved thee. Do you know he's loved you, brethren, with an everlasting love? Jeremiah tells us, chapter 31, verse 3, I think it is. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. And he's made us his own. I have loved thee. Therefore, will I give men for thee and people for thy life. That's that providential hand of God caring for his people. Again, in verse 5, we have the expression again, fear not. I listened to a preacher this morning driving up here, and he was talking about the state of our country, the state our country is in, the condition of it. And he said, it's easy. He said, I talk to a lot of people in his congregation. He has a large church where he is, and he says, People are afraid. People are fearful. They're worried about the state of our country. And he said, we don't need to worry about that because God is in control. God controls what's going on. And he loves us. And he says, fear not, for I am with thee. Brethren, to know that the one true and living God, you belong to him and he loves you and he's with you, will chase away fear from your heart. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. That generally, brethren, overall is speaking about the ingathering of God's people into the militant church, the Church of Jesus Christ worldwide. But on a local level, brethren, it means that God brings his people into a closeness with him, into a relationship with him from the north, south, east, and west, from wherever they are. He calls them, brethren, and that calling is the effectual call that cannot be resisted, that he brings us from death into life. And wherever we are, wherever a child of God is, he brings them into a relationship with him. Jesus says, all that the Father gives me shall come to me. And that hymn I love so much says, not one shall be lost, none shall perish or be lost. His blood has bought them dear they cost. North, south, east, west. I will say, keep not back. Give them up. Keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. And brethren, when God commands it, it happens. For everyone that is called by my name, even everyone that is called by my name, that's the children of God. For I have created him for my glory. Do you see that, brethren? Are you glorifying God in your life? Are you bringing glory to him? God says, that's why I created you, to bring glory to me. I have created him for my glory. God's going to get glory, brethren. One way or another, and it ought to be from our service and our praise to him. I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. Usually when we make something, it belongs to us. Typically, sometimes we make it to give away or to sell, but typically a lot of times we'll make something that we need to use. God made us, brethren. And we belong to him. Thou art mine, he says. And in closing, I want to say to you, I'm still trying to be thankful. I'm still trying to think about Thanksgiving. In these last days, I've had a wonderful time of giving thanks. We had prayer at my parents' house on Thanksgiving, and my uncle was asked to pray. And brethren, he took a deep breath and he waited several seconds and he began to pray and give thanks to God he just enumerated one after another and gave glory to God and how good God is and how we belong to God and how he loves us and what he's done for us. And it made me think of the years that have gone by. We've been getting together at my parents for Thanksgiving for at least 40 years that I can remember. And it just hit me as he was praying, and I thought, well, here we are again, yet again. Here we are. Here I am. Anyway, I've survived another year. God's blessed me with another year. We're right here in a home that I grew up in and I love, and with family around me. And I'm just thinking how good God is. And I know you all experienced that too. I hope you did. And I've been trying to keep it in my mind and bask in the glow of that, how good God is, and to be thankful. So, in closing, brethren, in light of what God says, thou art mine, I want to say, brethren, that I'm thankful, and I hope you are, that I belong to God. That's the top right there. I'm thankful that He calls me by my name. He knows me intimately, and He cares about me. That no flood, no river, no fire, no nothing can separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Nothing. There's nothing. You know that those verses in Romans, I think it is. Nothing can separate us. Romans 8, I believe it is. I'm thankful, brethren, that God brought me in from the north, south, east, or west, wherever He called me, brethren. He called me like Jesus called Lazarus out of the grave. He called him by name. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came forth. Lazarus was physically dead, and he came out of there physically alive. Brethren, you and I were spiritually dead, and Jesus called us, the Holy Spirit, the effectual call, called us from that dead state to life. I'm thankful that He called me, that I've been brought in to the redeemed family of God. I'm thankful that He gives men for me, that He's paid a ransom for me, that He's begotten me, that He's given His only begotten Son that I might live and that you might live. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that He is with me. I'm thankful that I am His and He is mine. I'm thankful that you're His, and that you're here today in the house of God, and you're hungry to hear the Word of God. And brethren, you and I, we ought to go from here thanking God and praising God. And I have created Him for my glory, it says. I hope we'll leave here glorifying God. And when the fire dies down a little bit, I hope you'll throw some more wood on it. I hope you'll read some more from the Word of God. I hope you'll count the blessings more. I hope you'll rejoice more in God. Brethren, you are His and He is yours. Show it. Show it by your life. Glorify Him. You're created to glorify Him. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Let's do it. Let's get busy about it. Our Father in heaven, thank you for your Word and the truth in it, and help me, Father, to have said what's right in your sight, get honor and glory from it, and may I and the Church of Jesus Christ be edified by it. May we be encouraged by it, strengthened by it, ready to face the flood, the river, the fire, to know that you'll be with us, and that we'll be able to give you glory no matter what in all things, because you have said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Thank you, Father, for that. Thank you for the fact that we belong to you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.